Welcome to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections Oral History Project, where we're working to record the oral histories of current and former DOC employees. I'm DOC Communications Director Susan McNaughton. This oral history focuses on the memories from the 1989 Camp Hill prison riot and also the opening of the State Correctional Institution at Waymart. Our guest today, August 30th, 2019, is Charles Zimmerman. Thank you for joining us, Chuck.
Thank you.
So before we begin, could you please, Chuck, provide us with a brief overview of your DOC career, talking about which facilities you worked at and the titles you held?
Okay, I started transferring from the Ohio State Correctional Institution in Lebanon, Ohio. I came in as the deputy superintendent for treatment at SCI Pittsburgh. After 5 years there, Commissioner Robinson appointed me as the first superintendent of the state regional correctional facility at Mercer, which we opened. And after a couple of years there, Commissioner Marks asked me to take over at SCI Huntington, where I was a superintendent for 3 years. Following that, Commissioner Jeffies asked me to go to Graterford, and I was a superintendent at Graterford from 1983 till 1989. At that time, Commissioner David Owens asked me to open up an institution in Waymart, Pennsylvania, with the former Farview State Hospital, and we would take over the hospital and convert it into a correctional facility.
Okay. So tell me where you were on Wednesday, October 25th, 1989, and tell me about that day. Where were you, and how did the riot start, and go from there?
Wednesday's a day that I remember very little of. What I do remember, there was a one-day riot, and then there was a warden's conference. And the fall warden's conference was in Greensburg. But I thought it was Thursday, if it started Wednesday, I'm a little foggy on that.
But
after the first day, we had mixed signals about what was going on, and there was some discussion about having to secure Camp Hill and holding a shakedown and things of that nature going around. But we still went to the warden's conference. I remember I was there, and I'm pretty sure that most of the superintendents were there except for possibly Superintendent Freeman. We were in in another room, I think a hospitality suite, and we heard that there's a riot at Camp Hill. And the discussion said, well, no, that was last night. Then further discussion came on, and they said, well, wait, it's on TV. And we went to one of the rooms that somebody was occupying, and we saw Camp Hill on TV burning, and finally came to the realization that, no, that's happening now. So that was a shock. And all the state superintendents started heading back, most of them to their home facilities. I got into my car and started driving to Camp Hill. Now, here my memory's a little foggy, because if you would have asked me this before I talked to Greg, I would have said Greg and I drove back there. I'm pretty sure somebody was with me.
Go ahead, Greg. You can jump in.
Yeah, it wasn't Greg.
Oh.
If you talking to anybody, if they say they rode to Camp Hill with me, let me know who it is, because I'm really curious.
Greg, was that you?
No, I stayed at Camp Hill from after the first night.
Right,
so
okay.
It wasn't me.
Right, so anyway, I remember talking about we could travel at a fairly good rate of speed because most of the state police would be at Camp Hill. So we drove a little bit faster than normal. And I remember coming over, we kind of came over the hill into Camp Hill, and we commented, my God, it looks like a moonscape, because of all the state police cars that were there with the little bubble tops.
Right.
So we came into Camp Hill, and I immediately went up to central office to see what we could do. There was really not much activity in central office at all, and we saw Camp Hill kind of actually burning in the background. And I talked about going down there to see if I could help Superintendent Freeman, but I was told I wouldn't be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So, at that point, we were just kind of hanging out at the central office and being very frustrated because we could see a lot of problems at Camp Hill, but, you know, unable to do anything at that time. From there, it goes into the evening hours, and I guess the next time, when Greg came back up, when did you come up to central office that night, Greg, or was it the next day?
That evening.
That evening, okay. And we spoke that evening, and the commissioner didn't tell us to go to Waymart that night, did he, or was it the next day? I thought it was that night.
No, about 7 in the morning, he told us, I think it was.
Hello?
Yep.
All right. Do you remember when it was that we were ordered to go to camp or to Waymart?
Yeah, that next morning, early. As soon as the MA started giving up, he called us up.
Ah, okay. All right. And then we started on our trip to Waymart. One other thing I'd like to refresh my mind on. Do you remember where we stayed that night, or were we at the central office the whole night?
Yeah, I was at the command post at Camp Hill all night, so I don't know where anyone was.
Okay. One little aside here, Sue, as a personal note, we were pretty together as families, the superintendents and their wives and everything, and my wife called Diane at the time, during the riot, and Diane being Mrs. Freeman, Bob Freeman's wife, and she was very frustrated because actually she was separated from the children, and I think she was in the house maybe, and the children hadn't come home or something and couldn't get home, something like that. But I don't know if she would have a memory of that and exactly what she found out, but I could call her if you'd like. She's on another floor of the house I'm in. So that's my memory of Camp Hill, unless somebody has something else to contribute.
I think that's good, but let's talk about how you and Greg, your team was put together, and you were just normally planning to open the institution at Waymart. When were you supposed to be doing that? And then talk about how it was pushed into activation early.
Oh my God, I think we had a timeline of about 4 weeks, didn't we, Greg, following that initially?
Well, initially we were to get up there, get some staff, get a work cadre of like 20
right.
inmates, and then sort of sometime after the 1st of January start taking other inmates, something like that.
So it was more than a couple of weeks, it was several months.
Yeah.
And then I remember the commissioner saying, get ready to open up, I guess, meet tomorrow.
So yeah, I remember he looked at us and said, Greg, Chuck, go to Waymart, be ready to take inmates tonight.
That's right. That's right. So we went up and we identified one housing unit, I guess, that we could start housing them. And do you remember which one that was, Greg?
Is that E?
I'm thinking E.
I think E. It was, but it had individual cells, rooms or cells, with wooden doors, but nonetheless, it was pretty secure, and the only thing was, it was filthy.
Right. And we had a heck of a time. We had to really start cleaning up from scratch. We really was assholes and elbows all over the place.
And so the inmates you were getting were directly from Camp Hill?
Yes.
And, of course, the accountability was bad because of the records office being inside the institution and suffering some damage. So how did you ensure you were getting who you were getting? And, of course, they were coming from a facility that wasn't clean anymore. So
they came right off the yard.
Oh.
And we really didn't know for sure what we were getting. But chip in, Greg.
And they had nothing. They had nothing but the clothes on their back.
That's right. We had to give them toiletries, toothbrushes, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and we didn't have them. We had to take them from Fairview.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. So for the people who are going to be listening to this in the future, SCI Waymart actually was a part, a section of the old Fairview State Hospital, which now is actually the entire SCI Waymart.
That's correct.
Yes.
It was still Fairview State Hospital, actually, and we had just occupied a part of it, and Fairview still occupied a part of it.
So was the Fairview staff then, were their kitchen staff working to feed the inmates that you got now? And, how did you cooperate and get all of the inmates what they needed with the care and the food and the, like you said, the toiletries. So you must have relied heavily on the Farview staff.
Well, we did it for supplies. As far as cooking, didn't we have our kitchen open? Did we get our kitchen open pretty soon, Greg?
Well, pretty soon we did. I'm trying to think about what the time frame was. We got Gary Davis as the culinary manager, but and most of his staff, he came from Dallas, I believe.
Yeah. Did Frank Tinsky come with him?
Well, Frank came a little while later.
Okay.
Because we did have a food service manager from Farview that I subsequently fired. And most of the food service staff were from Farview. But they started working for the department pretty soon. And so it's a blur as to how we did that. We did basic training on site in one of the closed housing units at Farview. Oh,
that's right. I remember that. Yeah. We had to train what do they call it, infirmary supervisors or something?
Oh, the sites. Let me think. Site, hold on.
PSAs,
yeah.
So they were trained to become officers?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. They were already in the H-1 bargaining unit, so for them, classification-wise, it wasn't a change. But there were little nuances, like the security people that did the outside security, they were not H-1, they belonged to a different union, and H-1 didn't give a damn about them, frankly. But we went to bat and got them to come on as trainees so they wouldn't lose their jobs.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. I tell you, it's foggy, Sue. I'm trying to get my memory going on this whole thing, the details. I'm glad I can bounce this off of Greg. It's helpful.
and then there were some crazy things, too. Like, Barbie still had this commissary where they would take their patients and they would get milkshakes and things like that at this commissary. And one time, one of our sergeants is walking by there with a couple inmates, and the one patient from Farview pulls back to take a swing at him, and this sergeant got him first.
Oh.
And we weren't sure how that was going to work.
So, go ahead.
We sort of had control of the perimeter pretty quickly. And one of the patients at Farview's had a visit from his brother. And while sitting there waiting for his brother, he goes wigging out. And we ended up having to restrain him and call the police.
Wow.
Yeah, he is. And, yeah, there wasn't a manual for that.
Do you remember how many COs we had, Greg, that first night when we first opened? I know we took we handled the perimeter immediately, didn't we?
Yeah, we took the perimeter right away, and yep. We had, I don't know how many I know that we had one officer and he worked more than 24 hours straight. And he told me this isn't bad. I did this all the time in the Marine Corps.
But I remember we were scratching for personnel from the DOC.
Yeah, and we were making promotions on site.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And then also, they had an artificial type of security there. That front gate was not secure at all, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we established security with our personnel.
With our personnel. And even some of the places they thought were secure.
We're not. So we didn't have a physical plant, Sue, a physical plant at all that was suitable. But with the personnel that we got, the small cadre of men we started with, we managed to, make it secure.
Yeah.
Personnel, not as opposed to with a physical plant, a wall or a fence or gates for that matter.
Right.
And pretty early on, we inherited the maintenance staff.
But right.
Overall, they turned out to be really, really productive.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
We rebuilt a lot of that space ourselves with in-house inmate labor and a maintenance staff. I look back on that, I still can't believe we did that much.
Yeah, well, one thing that I noticed, too, in traveling to the different institutions, when you were in a rural area, those maintenance men were really good workers, and it was true at Huntington, it was true at Waymart. I mean, it's just amazing the work that they do. It seemed to work a lot smoother, a lot quicker, and they were a lot more effective than we were near a big city.
Wow. So back to your first group of inmates, how many did you first receive?
237,
maybe?
30, was it?
Or 57?
I was going to say 247, but...
Yes, what did they okay.
Somewhere
in that neighborhood.
And
so it was close to 250.
And you really just didn't know if you were getting somebody that had been sitting in the yard or, well, it wouldn't have been somebody actively involved because the instigators, they were kept local for court purposes, but you still could have had some people that could be problematic for you. So how did you even prepare for that?
Oh, absolutely, we did. I mean, we just figured all of them were unknown quantities.
Okay.
Yeah. And we did have a couple they later identified as being involved that we had to isolate right away and put in one of those goofy rooms until we could get rid of them.
Right.
Wow.
Right. But they did we all did a pretty good job. They did a good job. I'm saying that the staff on hand did a really good job.
Right. And a lot of the staff, again, go ahead, Greg.
And Chuck, I was telling her earlier how the inmates hadn't been out to that main yard from really the end of October until it was March, until they got out to the main yard.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you ever have really any major problems with those inmates? Did they grieve because they weren't out till March, or how were they?
As I recall, they were thankful.
Yeah. But for the most part, they were thankful because they knew what they had gotten through, and we treated them like men. We didn't treat them, we really did. We made sure that they were treated fairly, and overall, the inmates weren't as much of a problem as it was getting all the stuff done with Farview.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Use the old term, firm but fair. I mean, they were treated fairly, as Greg said, but we were firm about it, and they knew their limits, and they respected that in this situation, plus the fact that they were grateful to be off that yard and all that, the discomfort that they suffered for the night and everything else until they got up to see us. Just a natural human reaction.
How soon after opening, then, were you able to have them have visits?
Have what?
Visits from their families.
Oh, I don't remember. Greg, do you remember?
We had to rehab a place to do that. I would say it was a month and a half.
But they were understanding, right? Because they knew
they got a little impatient as time went on, but about what you'd expect, Sue. I mean, when they first got in there, they're very happy, and as they got settled in and they got more comfortable, then they said, hey, I want my visit, all this kind of stuff. But just about what you'd expect. But for the most part, if it was 6 weeks, they handled it pretty well.
Right.
Yeah, and it may have not been, I think it was that long.
We had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think our goal was to make sure they have a visit by Christmas or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy times. So,
what?
So if you could pick, a couple of the major problems you had to handle, besides opening it up in a hurry, what kind of things would you pinpoint?
Well, the first thing that happened is we had a blowout driving up there. So that was our first obstacle.
Okay, and then once you got there, what was the next first obstacle?
Well, we had to start using our staff that we didn't know, and trying to make sure they didn't overreact, trying to make sure that they were, because we just didn't know. We didn't know really who they were, or very, a couple of the officers that had been around, we knew a little bit of, but overall, we didn't did not know people. And then we had to start interviewing both, and we had a list of people that Parview was keeping and the ones that they weren't, and we were sort of tasked with making sure as many as possible of the ones that did not have a position with the Department of Welfare still had a job of some kind.
That was a long struggle. That went on for a while, with the unions and the two different bargaining units, as I recall, the PSAs and the COs, right?
Yeah, and the nurses. Yeah, you know, at Farview, the nurses had a lot of
money. Yeah, right.
And they didn't like giving that up much.
Right.
And they treated the doctors like God, and frankly, they weren't.
Right. No, they weren't. There was, but you know, when you mentioned about being careful, the staff didn't overreact. I know on one occasion, at least, walking in on a situation, and I have to say that they immediately straightened up as soon as they saw me. But there was a tendency, of course, given the history of where the inmates came from and all the rumors going around, that some of the officers that we had might have been wanted to be a little more aggressive than they should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
So
they did respect me once they saw me come in, and I got to say that about them, they straightened up.
Good. So tell me one or two of the, again, besides opening up this facility in such a hurry, you talked about the difficulties. Name one or two successes that you remember. Besides everything.
Getting that first housing unit open and securing the inmates was the first thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal, I thought, getting it cleaned up, because there was no way that facility, that was an abandoned area that Farview abandoned some years ago, and we were kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. The maintenance staff would go to different parts of the institution and rip stuff out and put it in here.
I remember they had this one administrator at Farview, and she tried to keep track of how much stuff the Department of Corrections was using that was Department of Public Welfare. And she gave me a bill one day for, I think it was $420,000. I told her, you know, that's nice. And we probably did take all this stuff. But our department's the one that's under a state of emergency, and not yours.
Yeah, that issue came up the most first several months, that because Farview was used to operating with a very small population of patients, they called them, and we, of course, were used to operating with very large numbers of inmates, and they kind of had a mentality of counting thumbtacks, and you know, it just was like, we didn't have time for that. We just had to get a job done. So we just went ahead and get the job. And there was a lot of frustration on the part of a lot of Farview staff. And I know there were many, many meetings I had with the superintendent of Farview. The first one was Wendell Hunt. And he wasn't there long. And then Catherine...
Reese.
Kathy Reese, that's right.
Yeah.
And we had to do a heck of a lot of negotiating back and forth, because for the first, oh God, I think it was more than a year or two, there were two superintendents in one facility, you know, they had squatter's rights, so to speak, and we came in and kind of like said, hey, we have to do this, and we're going to do it. So it was very interesting, the times were.
Kind of a merging of cultures.
Yes. That's a good description,
Sue. I'm not sure merging's the right.
A takeover.
Right.
One was sort of eliminating a culture.
Oh.
Actually. Yeah.
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 Kind of like the white man taking over the Indians or something.
Yeah. even the psych security aides that became officers, they were used to different things. Like corrections, on your lunch hour, you're at the institution. Where they could leave the institution, it was nothing for them to run down to the hill, have two beers, and come back to work.
Oh, no. Wow.
That stopped when we got there. That stopped.
So looking back now, what different would you do?
Wow.
If anything.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, we got a pretty good slug of money from, you know, Casey had that money that he was going to reduce personal income or property taxes or something. It didn't go, so then he decided to fight drugs. And he decided Waymart would be a good place to fight drugs. And we got a pretty good slug of money there. Okay. And we put in an RHU in a courtyard by lifting everything over a corridor, an enclosed corridor. It was amazing to see.
It's kind of like, too, if you were to put an RHU between cell blocks in Greaterford.
Right.
You know? And
you,
yeah.
You had to crane the stuff over to get to the area. Right?
Exactly.
Yep. Including a crane.
Right. But they were prefab cells, hard cells that we put together in that area.
Right. Wow.
And it got to be, when I went back after I'd been away for a few years, the one officer, or the one lieutenant comes up to me and says, look at this, Deb, the floors are still clean enough to eat off of. we got, you know, everybody bought into what we were trying to do there.
Right.
You know, I don't want it to sound like, you know, we think we were great or anything, but I don't have any regrets. I don't think Greg does. And really, with the PSAs and the people, the staff at Farview actually appreciated the things we did and the operations, our operational philosophy.
Right.
Yeah, and plus they pretty much felt that we saved that institution or it would have been shut down if we didn't come in.
That's right. That's true, too.
Right.
Yeah. But believe me, Sue, it was all kinds of like pulling teeth initially, especially with some of the administration in that facility. I mean, it was pretty frustrating for a while.
Well, it sounds like they definitely had the right team to push into a business early, thanks to you guys. And I think now Waymart has a very nice group of employees, committed, dedicated, and it's a nice facility. So
that's
thanks.
Good to hear. I haven't been there in a while. That's good to hear.
One other thing that I think is important too is we had a deputy that we really didn't know in Ray Collering.
Oh.
And that turned out to be very helpful in that he was a local person connected politically, and he kept us from making bad political errors.
we learned a lot about politics. That's right.
All right. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about?
Not really.
Okay.